Good afternoon and welcome. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. We begin today with an update on the recovery and reclamation in the Patapsco River. Following the crash of the Dali, a cargo ship headed to Sri Lanka that crashed into the Key Bridge last week. WYPR's Wamboy Kamau had a story this morning that aired on NPR about the Small Business Administration's low-interest loans to businesses affected by the collapse of the bridge. And joining me now is WYPR's Emily Hofstetter, who's been reporting on other efforts by the city and the state to cushion the economic blow to local workers. Emily joins us on Zoom. How you doing?
Hey, Tom. I'm well. How are you?
I'm okay, thanks. So the city and the Board of Estimates meeting yesterday passed a fund worth $1 million for Key Bridge relief. How's that going to work?
So details are still, being worked out. We should have more in the next couple of days here. But essentially, it's modeled off of some of those earlier coronavirus relief programs you might remember from a couple of years ago. This particular effort from the city is it's for businesses at the port. So the idea is the businesses can apply for money, and it is specifically a wage subsidy. So it allows them essentially to keep their workers on payroll and be able to float a little bit longer while the state is working out relief efforts and federal relief efforts as well.
Yeah, so very similar to like the PPP program or something during the COVID. Yeah,
Very much like that. Yeah. I have some exact numbers my screen just went down. Sorry about that. But, the initial $1 million right here can probably help about 130 workers. The mayor was pretty clear that this is just, I think the down payment is the term that he used. So businesses can get up to $7,500 per worker. In the grand scheme of things, we've got about 8,000 people that are immediately impacted. There are 15,000 people that work at the port. So it is just a very small number, but the idea is it's just to get things going. They want people staying, with their jobs at the port so it can open again.
And these 8,000 people, I assume, would be city residents, right? There are county residents who work at the port as well, and they would have other options.
That is absolutely correct, Tom. Yeah. Yes, this is just for city workers.
Because, of the 15,000 people who work at the port, it's possible that in 2 weeks or 4 weeks, many more of those 15,000 will be affected the way the 8,000 are affected right now. Is that correct?
That is so correct, Tom. I think the idea here is, again, it's just one little drop in the bucket. There is state relief that hopefully may be on the way. And then the city is also working on, some other steps down the road from here. But it's just an initial start. It'll hopefully help a few city workers. Because, again, we want people, the idea is they want people to stay with their jobs at the port so that when the port does reopen, we don't know when that is, they're there on payroll and they're ready to go.
In terms of the state efforts, on Tuesday, the Senate in the Maryland General Assembly passed the thing that's called the PORT Act. It's an acronym for Protecting Opportunities in Regional Trade. So there's state money that's probably going to be made available for some of these workers as well.
Yeah, that's correct. One of the main, there are a couple parts of that bill. One of the main things is that it would allow those workers to get some unemployment benefits that would otherwise not qualify for full unemployment. We want to keep them on the payroll. We don't want them looking for other jobs, which is a requirement typically of unemployment. So part of that legislation tries to get around some of those things.
And the workers on the bridge were all members of the Latino community. Some were longtime residents of Maryland, others a little more recent. There were 8 people involved. 2 were rescued immediately. 2 bodies have been recovered, and the other 4 bodies remain to be recovered, but workers can't get to them because of the debris and the situation in the water. So they're trying to clear some of that debris away so that workers and divers can get to the remains for their families. But CASA Maryland, the immigrant support and advocacy group, held an event with Latino immigrants. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so CASA, they are an advocacy group. They also help people with legal matters. And one of the things that they are trying to make people more aware of is just how much of our construction infrastructure is managed by immigrants, especially immigrants from Latin America. In addition to helping the families with relief efforts, they're also calling on the Biden administration to act more to protect Latino workers who may or may not have documented status, especially people that are undocumented. They're calling for the expansion of the TPS or Temporary Protected Status Program. That is a list of countries where people can, be here and look for work. They're not full citizens, but they are allowed to be working and extending their work periods. So they're calling for the extension of that to more countries, especially Latin America, where some of these workers are from.
I think they also brought up, the fact that many of these workers, documented or undocumented, are working in dangerous conditions. And clearly, that was the case last week on the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Very difficult situation. And if they are undocumented, they are obviously more susceptible and, open for exploitation of employers. Any indication at this point, early in the investigation, that their employer, the contracting company, I think they're called Bronner Contracting Company, had done anything inappropriate or even illegal in terms of protecting their workers?
No, at this point, I don't have any information like that. Again, I'm looking into it as are many other reporters. And I do want to, just say we don't know the documentation status of these workers. So I don't want to imply anything that we don't know. Some of them have been in the country for decades, raising children here. But certainly, as CASA has pointed out, when you don't have documented status, or even when you do, and English is a second language, you are open and vulnerable to exploitation and dangerous working conditions. Again, no evidence right now that we have that these workers were exploited. And again, we don't know their documentation status, but certainly, we know construction is a very dangerous job, even in the best conditions. And this obviously did not turn out to be the best conditions.
WIPR's Emily Hofstetter, who is covering this story for us here from our news department. Thanks so much, Emily. I appreciate the time.
Thank you, Tom.
And coming up as we approach the 6-month anniversary of the war between Israel and Hamas, a conversation with Aaron David Miller of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. He joins me on the other side of a quick break. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.
This is Baltimore's NPR News Station, 88.1 WYPR.